Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by SuperValu Insurance, looking out for you and yours with our new life and mortgage protection insurance.
Well now, Wexford-born playwright Billy Roach is well known for his books and his plays, and he's still a Wexford man through and through. The first play from his Wexford trilogy, A Handful of Stars, is being staged this month in the Wexford Arts Centre and in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary. Well, Billy's friend and fellow Wexford native Owen Colfer is part of the celebration of Billy's work right now, and I'm delighted to say that both of them are here in studio this morning. Welcome to you both.
Hi, Miriam.
Good morning.
Hi, lovely to see you both. Listen, Billy, I have to start with you. What's it like being honoured like this?
Oh, Lord, it's very weird.
The first thing you say is, oh, Lord.
You know, we spend so much time alone in our rooms. It's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I try to celebrate as much as I can.
Yeah, which is
and
lovely.
Climb over the embarrassment of it all.
Yeah, so well deserved, though. And of course, you're going to be getting up on Tuesday and doing a tribute to him, aren't you?
I know. I mean, I'm not going to be singing. I just want to make that clear. but I'm not really doing events this year. But when Tom Mooney called and said, would you do this? I mean, absolutely. Because I owe a lot to Billy. I mean, he was a huge inspiration. And not just in the way he writes, which is an inspiration to a lot of writers, like Conor McPherson is a huge fan of Billy's, but in what he's achieved and how he's gone about it and how he showed that a fellow from the country could break through, which was like unheard of in 70s Wexford. There wasn't really anybody else doing that, and he was the one who showed me that you can do it. You don't have to be from, you know, the north of England with a cottage in the back of your garden and two, you know, red setters and a shotgun. You can actually be from Wexford and you can, the son of a publican, and you can break through on the international stage, and it kind of set me on the road.
We'll talk about your great connection between the two of you soon. But Billy, like he mentioned there, your dad was a publican. Where did you grow up? Tell me a little about your background.
Well, I grew up in the very heart of Wexford, John Street. I was born in John Street, and then when I was about nine, we emigrated down to John's Gay Street. And it was a huge move, you know. And I kind of lost all my friends. And, you know, it was only literally around the corner, but it was a completely different neighbourhood. And so, you know, I grew up in the 60s, all that beautiful music and all that style. And I was a sucker for all of that, you know, and always dreaming. I've been an actor, a musician, and I can see myself doodling in school. You know, I was going to start a band. It was going to be Billy and the Blizzards, which never actually happened. But
plenty of time.
That was in the mode of Jerry and the Pacemakers and Freddie and the Dreamers. Yeah. And, you know, so a little dreamer, really, looking out the window and thinking, I wouldn't have been dreaming about being a writer, because I think that was the ultimate. That was a grown up profession, you know.
Mm.
So it was only when I went through all the other things that I began to think about maybe I could write a book. And actually, in fact, I wrote a novel. I tend to be a novelist first. And I wrote a novel called Tumbling Down. And Owen's mother and father were my mentors, Billy and Noreen. And I gave the book in a rough draft for them to read. And Owen tells me that he snuck in and read it well.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? There's such a lovely connection between the two of you.
Very clearly. And you see, what people don't realise is when you're giving someone a rough draft of a book in the 70s, that is an expensive thing to do, because you've got to print that out, which was very expensive. I mean, you didn't have printers at home, so you either had to go to a shop, or in my case, I was lucky. My principal, Pat, he was very generous with me. I could give him a few quid, you know, to cover the copies, and he would let me print it up in school. But I don't know if you remember, Billy, you had to tear off the edges. You print it out like a ream, and you had to tear off the perforated edges off the pages. So it took a long time to do it. This copy was going to the publishers, so nobody could touch. So I remember my dad and Billy were going out after, and my dad said to me, and I was dying to read this book, because I didn't believe a person from Wexford could write an actual book. And my dad said to me, under no circumstances are you to touch this book. And I was a great man for skirting rules. So I analysed that sentence. And when they went out, I said to myself, well, there are no circumstances now. So legally, I can read this book. So I read it now, like with my fingers on the tips of the pages. And as I got further in, I realized, oh my God, not only is this a good book for a Wexford man, it is a good book for anyone. It's amazing. And it was, I realized at that moment, you know what? It's possible. It can be done. And that was a real road to Damascus moment for me. But before that, and I don't want to embarrass Billy too much because he's going to get plenty of that.
On Tuesday.
Before that, the earth-shattering effect for a young wannabe artist writer of seeing a guy from Wexford on television singing a song, then going down to Dunwira and seeing him with his band, and then he writes a book. You're like, all right, that's enough, Billy. But it was like we had this star living in Ireland, so, or living in Wexford. So it was a huge deal. And there's, I think anyone who came up around that time, whether it's, you know, your own cousin, Pierce, or, you know, Larry, or any of the boys who made it all the way to the US of A, it was all, I think, on the back of Billy opening that door for all of us.
Wow.
Give me that guitar. But, you know, it's a strange thing about tumbling down. It's kind of an innocent book, I suppose. But everything I wrote comes from that book. All the stories were all the little ghosts of them is in there. The Cavalcaders in there. Yeah. Amphibians is in there. And Such As We is in there. It's nearly all coming from that little well, you know, this little well of stories. So I'm very attached to tumbling down. Yeah.
And remind everyone, as you know, Owen was talking about there, your musical talents as well, because you almost went that way first, didn't you, Billy?
Like, oh, no, big time, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Remind people.
Well, I would have been a folk singer first, and I went to London and sang the folk clubs, and then came back and began to get a little rockier, and the punk scene took. I really loved the new wave territory, you know. People like Graham Park and The Rumour and Elvis Costello and people of that nature, you know. And we were pretend punks, but it was the energy that I was after, you know. And so, yeah, that would be my life. And but, you know, when you run out of hair, your punk days are over. And,
it's a great slogan.
That's a good name for an album.
So maybe at 30, I felt very old at 30. And I probably only started writing at 30. So a new life had to be formed. So I broke the news to my wife, Patty, that I was changing professions, which she was very glad to know, except I was going to be a writer.
So yeah. She was delighted she said the word writer.
And she said, I'm going to get a job. So she got the job and she bought me the time to write.
Oh, which was great. Yeah. And how did you know Owen's parents? Like, who were those people that you knew them?
Well, I can't... I think the first time I rubbed shoulders with them was because they were amateur actors as well, fantastic actors. And I joined when I was about 17, the Wexford Drama Group. And it was full of really powerful actors, you know, right, Tom Murray and Des Waters. Lorcan Kiernan was a fabulous actor. But anyway, Nuala Doyle was this incredible actress. But I was going to be 17, 18-year-old James Dean, Wexford James Dean. And we were doing The Crucible.
Yeah.
And they cast me as the 80-year-old Giles. And nobody told me what to do. And I stuck a little beard on me. I looked like a goat. And nobody was fooled, including the adjudicator. So that was the end of my amateur career. So I met them. That's how I met them. And and they were very good to me.
Yeah.
They humoured me a lot of the time until I wrote something down.
They were great. Yeah. I think the other reason I became a writer was my parents, because they were very liberal and very artistic people. And they were delighted, you know, that I was writing stories and wanted to write books. And Dad was thrilled to be, you know, poring over manuscripts with Billy. It was just a great, it was this great collaboration. And Wexford is very like that, I think. Everyone's in a drama group or a light opera society or making sets or on the lighting board. It's a great town for that.
Well, he was a wonderful man, and I launched one of his books, that beautiful book that he had about Viking Wexford, Norman Wexford. And I mean, people should check Billy Colford's books out, because they're works of art, you know. And I think in my speech I said something, you know, when the poet and the historian come together, yeah. It's a joy to behold, yeah. Actually, yeah.
So when you said to your great wife that you're going to be a writer, which she was obviously thrilled about, everyone says they want to be a writer. When was the moment, though, you realised, Billy, that you actually would be able to make this as a career? In other words, that this wasn't just a dream, it could actually work for you. When was that breakthrough?
Well, I for about 7 years I wrote Tumbling Down, and I started to write Handful of Stars at the same time. So I was jumping from one to the other. So it took about 7 years, and when I was at my lowest ebb, I think I was about to crack. I got a refusal from the Royal Court in the morning for A Handful of Stars, and which amused me because I hadn't sent it to them. So now I'm getting turned down for people who I didn't even ask. And I was really at a low ebb, and Patrick Sutton was running the Wexford Arts Centre at the time, and he knew I was low, and he dropped me home. And but within the hour, he was back up to say, I hadn't got a phone or anything, and come down to the Arts Centre because the Bush Theatre wanted to talk to you about A Handful of Stars. So I was turned down in the morning, wow, and accepted in the afternoon. And I've never been out of work since that day. It was, yeah, just beautiful.
Isn't
the gods
amazing?
Decided we punished him enough and we're going to give him a little reward now, and the Bush, little 100-seater theatre in London.
Beautiful theatre.
But it changed everything for me, you know. And I met my mentor, Robin Lefevre, and brought Gary Lydon over to play Jimmy Brady. Mm-hmm. And the ironic thing about it now is just Handful of Stars is running now. I have to say, thanks to Four Rivers Theatre, yeah, Ben Barron's Four Rivers, who are producing it. But Gary, who played Jimmy Brady, is now playing the cop that's hunting down Jimmy Brady. So it's quite ironic, isn't it? Yeah.
And then after that, yeah, I don't know how long it was after that, Billy, but BBC put on the three plays.
Yes.
And that was, I had never seen anything like that. Like, they filmed the plays as live.
As plays, yes, yeah.
And broadcast them all, and I don't know if they've ever done that before or since, you know, a trilogy like that as and again in Wexford, that was unbelievable.
Well, we were doing the Cavalcaders in the Peacock at the time, and Gary Lydon and I were in the play. I played Josie against Tony Doyle, my hero, and but as we walked on that night, I tugged at Gary and said, we're on the BBC right now. You know, it's a beautiful thrill.
Wow.
But meeting Tony Doyle, I bumped into Tony Doyle in a subway in London, and I was standing beside him, and he didn't know me. My play was on in the Bush, but I was in a play in Hampstead. I was in Brian Friel's Aristocrats in Hampstead, and I was going to the first reading, and Tony Doyle is standing beside me. And so I said, I have to say hello to him. I said, Tony Doyle, right? And he said, yeah, who are you? And I told him who I was. Oh, I heard you, yeah. And he came along on the train with me, and he said, I'll come to see you. And he did. But little did we know that I hadn't written The Cavalcaders yet.
Wow.
And that we would be sharing a dressing room.
Yeah.
That's such a lovely story,
actor,
yeah, actually.
Amazing.
What an amazing actor. Fintan O'Toole has called you, Billy, the laureate of the unremarkable. It's a great title. Do you accept that title? Do you like that title?
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Because I do find, you know, we're all tempted to write stories about the guy who climbs Everest. But what about the guy who's carrying his bag? Mm. And that's the guy that really intrigues me. Mm. It's the little life and the little Chekhovian life that I'm after, you know. And it's lovely to do, because you go and you wonder, can he or she sustain this story, you know?
Mm.
My job as a writer was to make Wexford the very centre of the universe, and to play out the myths and the legends of Oisín and Camelot. The Cavalcaders of Camelot literally played out. And I'm not making these, you know, these stories happen all the time. Myths play themselves out, you know. The Cavalcaders, there was a man who lost his wife to his best friend, you know.
Yeah.
And That's Camelot.
Well, there's much more the audience identify with that than being the guy who carries the bag than being like the square-jawed, handsome sort of guy. If you're watching that, 90% of people will be that guy. Mm. They're not going to be the lead. So they're all going, yes. And maybe they don't even realise they're identifying it like I wouldn't. But then, you know, later on you go, that's why I like that, because I am that guy or I am that lady. And, you know, we all identify with it.
I'm looking at Owen now because he taught my daughter.
In school.
And himself and Liam Turner were their teachers. And she said that they were the most mischievous teachers you ever could have.
It was bad.
They went camping one time and she said, well, you know, they didn't go to sleep for hours and, you know, till all the, but when they woke up in the morning, the teachers were pouring water on the faces, not the other. I'm not surprised that Owen became a children's author. And
yeah, it's a great, and what Billy said about finding the secondary character, that's what I tried to do. Even with Artemis Fowl, it was, Artemis is not your hero. Like, he is a guy who I have elevated from kind of first henchman to leading man. And how can you make that, and can you sustain that? And I managed to sustain that for a whole career so far. But it's a smart way to approach things. And I would urge anyone starting out writing to maybe look at that. There's more than one character in your story, and which one do you want to be to be about? So yeah, I learned that from Billy as well.
Also, don't be afraid to sack somebody.
Yeah, and say no.
When you're writing a script, if you sack a character, all the other characters, and sometimes you sack a character and you're thinking, yeah, but he had that lovely line or she had that lovely line, but the other character said, I can handle that line.
Have you ever sacked a character and brought them back?
No.
No.
Yeah. No, you sack him, you're gone.
He's gone. He's ruthless.
No chances.
It'll cost you money if you bring him back.
You said earlier when you were talking about Billy Owen that, you know, reading that book originally really impacted you.
Yeah.
Do you honestly think you would be the writer you are today but for him? Do you think his influence was quite major on you?
Well, it gave me that determination to keep going, because what happens to most writers, and I think we probably lost 90% of our major writers to this, is you write a book or a play, it doesn't get picked up and you just think, right, that's it for me. Obviously, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I have to pack it in, or, you know, but I wrote 6 books before I got published. But, you know, I'd heard Billy's stories that he's just telling us. I've been down and down, and it was the last minute. And I remember when I had written all these books, and even after I had 6 books published, I was still broke, like completely broke. And I thought I had the number one, like my first book was on the Late Late Toy Show. So I thought, that is it.
I'm made.
I am made. It went to number one the next day. And then a week later, they ran out of stock. So because they didn't.
Wow.
So I said, it's okay. I've had number one. When my check comes in, it's going to, that's, but it, sorry, but it didn't happen, you know. So I wrote 6 more books and they all did well in Ireland, but wasn't enough for me to quit my job. And my wife, Jackie, had opened a new business with her friend, who's also Jackie Whelan. And so they were at it all hours of the day. I was minding the baby and trying to write. And I remember this is a terrible thing, but I remember just one night I was at home and I put the baby down and I was finished the ironing and I was folding knickers. And I thought, this can't be it. And I know people fold knickers all the time. And it's not a problem, but for me, it was some kind of symbolic. And the worst, even worse, was I had developed my own fold. Because most people do a double fold on knickers, but I had a triple fold. I thought, when you're developing your signature knicker fold, you need to do something else. And I thought, I have to give up the writing for a few years until Finn is 5. And, you know, and then a week later, I got a call from a London agent, and that was it. So it was like when you have to reach that point where you're on the verge of giving up, and then the universe hands you, you know, just something. Yeah. And in my case, it was, well, you know, Sophie.
I remember you told me that day that you had just got an agent.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying to me, and you know, that you had heard that an agent is the answer? And I said, well, I have an agent, but if it's the answer, but anyway, but it was for you.
It was, yeah, for me. Yeah. It was.
That's so lovely that you both had those kind of experiences.
Yeah. Well, I tried to make an actor out of Owen as well. I directed a version of A View from the Bridge.
Yeah.
And he had one great line, and the ammo, I think, was the line. You delivered it brilliantly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, my friend Declan, he was the other.
That's right.
Declan and he, was it, yeah. So we were like a double act, and he was amazing, and he had an amazing accent. And my accent was terrible, my New York. So I think it was decided unanimously, silently in our family, that I would not do any more acting.
You didn't need it then. You are, of course, a huge Wexford hurling fan, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Lee Chin, even.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's one of the best we ever had, I think. Probably the best we ever had, probably. Go back to Nicky Rackard and all them, yeah. So he's wonderful. But I only live around the corner from the ground, so yeah, I'm hooked on it. It's how I escape, you know. It's to just disappear into something. Yeah.
How much do you love it, hurling?
Almost as much as you.
Yeah. You see? You see now.
Good deflection there.
But yeah, I wrote a long short story called Some Silent Place about a hurler, and I thought it's a fabulous idea, you know, because it could be like a Brokeback Mountain type of thing, that this little novella will... from a book, short stories called Tales from Waymoater Pond. And there was one story, but I thought this one will break away, it'll become a little novella, and all the GA people will all love this story. No.
No.
They don't like fiction, they like it right between the eyes, you know. So Tales from Waymoater Pond is out of print now, unfortunately.
Yeah,
yeah.
Beautiful.
So publishers out there, help.
Help, yeah.
And I'm obviously going to give the dates now for A Handful of Stars. So have you written your words to pay tribute to the man beside you, Owen, for
I'm
Tuesday?
I'm lucky in that I'll be asked questions. Tom Mooney is going to ask the questions, so I'll just have to answer questions. And that's my favourite type of interview, because you don't have to make up anything. And that's actually Tuesday night in the library, and details are on my Instagram. But you just have to phone. It's free.
Well, you know, that's a dangerous thing to say, because the minute you say free, you're packed.
Yeah,
if you want to pack
that's
it
what
to
we want. That's what we want. Free, we're packed in the library.
But thank you, Owen, for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, look, it was lovely to speak to you both. When you came in, you were chatting. Like, when I met you this morning, I said, stop talking, because the two of you will have talked everything out. But you just keep talking. And actually, Deirdre, my producer, just said, your Wexford accent, Owen, has never been stronger. It must be sitting beside Billy.
It is. When I sit beside Billy, it comes back, especially if there's, you know, currency involved. Like, $4.95! It really speeds back when there's money involved. But yeah.
There's money?
Yeah. Well, look, it's been my privilege this morning. Delighted you're being on our Billy Roach. Owen Colfer, thank you for being here. Two of Wexford's finest, nearly as good as Lee Chin. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. And Billy, your play, A Handful of Stars, is going to be in the Wexford Arts Centre from the 6th to the 9th of June and from the 11th to the 16th of June. It's also going to be in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary from the 18th to the 22nd of June. And tickets are from wexfordartscentre.ie and pavilionthatre.ie. Thanks so much. Lots of love for Billy Roach and Owen Colfer. Frank in Tralee says, beautiful interview. I have Tales from Waymoater Pond. Brilliant, lovely stories. Congratulations, Billy, on the celebration of you. And Eamon says, great interview. What a place Wexford is for literary talent. These guys and Colm Tobin, John Bamble, Anthony Cronin. Yeah, it is an amazing county.